I am so glad you're here this morning. I woke up this morning. I had a hard time sleeping last night. I woke up this morning, and God told me the sermon wasn't finished. Last week, I had four P's, if you remember them. Anybody remember them? I don't remember them. See how well I preach? Oof. All right. Proximity is one of them. All right? There's somewhere on, if you have notes from last week, anyway. I have three C's. Guess how many C's I have on the screen today? One. God is good, right? And he comes in and he laid some more on my heart. So, boy, we got a long way to go to this morning. So I'm excited. Some of you are like, oh, man, I thought we'd get to lunch early. I will do my best. I will say also, God has changed the order of service this morning. We're going to change it up a little bit. We're going to end the service a little bit different. All right, it's not with me on the stage, right? So we're going to cheer that on, all right? All right. You're my man. All right, I love it. We are going through a series called Good News. If you want to put that up there, I'm gonna bank on you this morning, all right? We're both flying by the seat of our pants this morning, all right? First off, I want you to know, I feel overwhelmed this morning by God's presence. And it could be just me. And I'm fine with that. God is good. I'm excited to be in his presence. I'm excited to be with you guys. I'm excited that God is going to do something. I really believe that. It might not reflect this morning, but it might reflect 20 years from now that his message, not me, not something that we sang, not something that his spirit moved in you and all of a sudden changed the world in you, all right? I believe that, I know that, because I've been a part of that, and God is still doing that with me. I have not hit my goal of where God has called me. And I thank you, I thank him for the opportunity just to be here, being with you, that he loves me and shows enough grace and mercy that I can stand up here and give this message. Because that's the only reason I can't. That's the only reason any of us can't. It is through his strength, through his love, that we get to be a part of the good news. All right? And I want you to know, the first C, if you want to write it down, if you want to, it's not up there, don't push it yet. We are all called. We are all called to be part of this ministry, to be part of his ministry, to be a part of God's calling for this world. We are all called. And nobody lacks the skills, nobody lacks the knowledge, nobody lacks the understanding, because it's all there at our fingertips, all there at our bending knee. The moment we pray, the moment we read scripture, the moment that we get closer to God, he opens that door of understanding of what our calling is. First and foremost, all of us, no matter what your call is, some of us might have the Noah call, meaning you have a specific item that you are called to. Noah had to go build a boat, go get some animals, put them on this boat, and survive. Really hope he's not calling you to do that. First off, he promised he wouldn't do that again, right? But I drove here without my top on today, praying that it doesn't rain, all right? But it might be fun to drive in it. So be it. And Jackson drove his car. I can drive his car. Yeah. Parents. Right? You are called. And it might be as simple as this, which all of us fall under this blanket. We are called to love our neighbor and to love God with all our being. With all our being, which leads into the second C. It is costly. This one's a tough one, because really we want comfort, But in order to understand our calling and understand what God has called us to be, which is good newsers, to be people filled with good news of who he is and what he is, right, it is going to cost us. And this is the question for you. This is a quick see. Are you willing to pay it? It's as simple as that sounds. Are you willing to lay everything down, turn your life upside down if he says, hey, I want you to go here. I need you to be the good news within this neighborhood. I need you to sacrifice everything you have. Are you willing to do it because of my love in your life? So there's a calling. And it's a costly calling. It's not easy. In fact, he says, lay down your life and pick up your cross daily. Those are the words of our Savior. Those are the words of Jesus Christ. Those are the people that followed him. And at that time, that was not something you're going, okay, I'll do that. The cross was not something that you were excited about. The cross was the execution. It was the chair. It was the noose. It was the celebration of killing somebody. And if you had to carry it, you did something wrong. And Jesus puts it there and says, listen, if you follow me, there's a cost to this, and it's your life. And what's cool is, like, the moment we understand that, the moment we get that, he gives us new life, a new understanding, right? New life is fun to watch, isn't it? We have a little baby, Lincoln. We got a couple babies, right? And watching Lincoln this morning crawl, like try to find where he's at, and he'd see things, right? That face, and we as parents are like, are just adults. If you don't have a heart, then okay. All right, you might not feel this way, but you're like, oh, that's so cute. He's giving me the weird look, right? Maybe it's just me, right? But that's there, and it's awesome. And it's this new being, and this is new, right? And guess what? Within this life with Christ, you got the calling, you got the cost, you get this ideology of curiosity. Boom, an attitude of curiosity, the one that I was going to go with. You get this attitude of curiosity. Now, growing up, curiosity did what? It killed the cat, which I'm all right with. So all the curiosity you can get, all right? Don't come at me. Don't be hateful on Facebook, please. I know God created them. Created other things too, like mosquitoes. Don't pet them. Anyway, sorry. Please forgive me. I'm human. All right? Be graceful. All right? So an attitude of curiosity. It is, and I want to flip our thought process on it, because reality, like, it comes with a bad connotation, right? Like, for instance, sticking your hand down a hole that you don't know what's at the bottom of it. Anybody want to do that? We got a couple people. All right. Next week. All right. We're bringing a box up here. You won't see what's in it. Boom. Snake. Right? Crazy people. Right? There's things like that that you go, that's, curiosity is not good, right? Like, I remember growing up, and it'll explain a little bit about who I am. I was a little kid. I was playing with a fork, and I was playing with the fork on the floor, and I was playing near a wall. That's why I stutter and have a hard time reading something. All right? That got me. You don't want to do that. That kind of curiosity is not good. But guess what? The reality is this, though, too. I learned from that. I learned from it. Now, did it cost me a few brain cells? Right? Taste things differently? mean, it's part of life, right? And as I was thinking about this, and as I was moving forward with this message and asking God, where do you really want me to go with this? How do you want me to preach this, right? And understanding we all have a call. We all have a cost to that call. It is our life. Are we willing to lay it down? And in that, if we're willing to lay this down, then all of a sudden we're reborn in Jesus Christ and we see the world in a different way and we understand what our calling is and we look out in this world and go, I am curious about who you are. You see how it flipped everything around. I'm curious about who God is and how he has changed me and how I am this person. Do you think I still deal with doubt? Absolutely I do sometimes. It's easy. You look into this world and go, God, do you really love us? God, are you really here? God, like, how can this happen? I've been following you for a long time and still things bad happen, right? Right? But God is good, and it cost. It cost, right? And then you become curious, and guess what? I'm curious about where God is moving and where he wants me. I know when I was a teenager and I got saved, man, I struggled with that calling. But it was a good struggle. I was like, God, I know you got a call on my life. I know you do. I don't know what that is. It wasn't the Noah call. It didn't come with instructions. It didn't come with like, this is, I'm going to take you to Olivet Nazarene University, and you're going to struggle your first year and your second year, and be like, oh, okay, maybe I'll be a good student. And then you're going to find somebody your sophomore year that you're going to marry and want for the rest of your life, and you're going to force her to love you, right? Nobody else? All right, just me? All right. Like, I didn't get that plan. I didn't get that message, and I struggled. And I honestly will tell you, I did not think if I go back 20 years, 30 years, I go back that far, and I look at, if that Ben stood up here, you'd be like, no, this isn't the same Ben. There's no way I could ever associate the moment I felt the calling on God's, my life from God, that I could be here in this moment. I didn't think I was called to be a pastor because I didn't think I had the skill sets. There is no way I could give the message of the gospel to you. I barely understood the gospel. But God called me. And every door that continued to open up, this is what's funny. God is really good, okay? Like, the very first day of my freshman year, they had these booths open in this church, and the only reason I went in there is because I smelled chocolate chips. Yeah, that's how I felt too. And I walked in, and you had to sign up to get the chocolate chips, and I didn't care what I was signing up for. I was a hungry college student, and I got free chocolate chips, and then all of a sudden I ran a Youth for Christ event for junior hires. I was like, all right, I have no clue. We'll treat it like youth group. We'll play games. We'll hit them with the dodgeball, and we'll talk about Jesus Christ. All right, let's do it. God has a calling. Guess what? It cost me some friendships. It cost me my time. It cost me some studying. Let's be honest, I wasn't going to do it. But it cost me my Friday nights. And I will tell you, then all of a sudden, I had this calling in my life for those junior hires. And guess what? All my roommates, because I had that calling, they had that calling too. Do you know why? Because I was like, listen, guys, I got sold out for what I was called to do. Because why? Because God was opening that door, and I stepped forward, and the passion and everything was new. The curiosity of teaching these teens, these kids, God loves you, was real to me. And because it was real to me, they wanted to be a part of it. Woo! Man, that was so much fun. And we had one of the most thriving Youth for Christ clubs in their whole region. We just loved on these kids. And the cool thing was, like, our goal was not just about our club. Our goal was to get them attached to churches around, get them attached to people like you, and go, hey, love on these kids because they've accepted Jesus Christ. And guess what, church? Your call is to go, yes, let's get them, let's love them, let's show them, let's disciple them. Let's embrace them. You know what our call is not to do? Sit here and shut up. Ooh, I'm sorry. Sit here and be quiet. Some of you are going to be upset with me because I said the S word. I want you to understand, when we silence the Spirit of God, that's more painful than whatever I just said up here. Do you understand? The more that we interact with these kids, the more that we interact with the lost, the more that we interact with people that need the message, we are going to have moments that are just so overwhelming. It's going to bring us to the edge. Let me give you a story. Let's go to the next slide. Next one. Luke 19, 5 through 8. It's a story of Zacchaeus. Anybody know that he was a wee little man? Right? We do. Right? Let me tell you some of the more of the story. Zacchaeus was a tax collector. He was known in the community as a dirtbag. Somebody, he guaranteed he didn't have too many friends except for the ones that he could pay for. And being a tax collector, I think I've explained this before, being a tax collector meant that I would come to your door, I would collect the tax, and I would determine not just the tax that the king was putting upon him, but also I needed some too. And it was it was enforced by the army. It was enforced by soldiers. It was enforced. So like if I came to your door, Vern, and said, hey, $50 today, and the real tax is just $10, can you understand the hatred for this guy? All right? And also, climbing trees during that time, not the most respectful thing to do, right? Can you see a grown little man climbing a tree? You go, oh, geez, what's he doing? And he hears that Jesus is coming to town. And he's heard about Jesus. And before this, just to let you know what Jesus has done, he just healed a blind man. Like, he's doing amazing things. So, of course, like, people want to see this, want to be a part. There's a crowd. And that's why Zacchaeus had to get up in a tree. He wanted to just see this man that was doing amazing things and claiming to be the Son of God, claiming to be the Messiah, claiming that he is the way to true life. So he climbs up this tree, and this is what's awesome. This is where Jesus comes in, and every eye is upon him, and every ear is listening to what he has to say. If he were to stop and go, okay, the whole crowd would hush and go, he's going to say something. It's going to be amazing. Let's hear this. What's he got to say? Right? And he also has ears going, what's he going to say? Let's write this down, because we need to hold it against him tomorrow. Right? He's got all those people, and Jesus understands that. He sees that, right? And he has all these groups going, okay, we have people that are part of the way and know that they need to be redeemed and follow him and live this holy life. And we have the self-righteous group that is lived by the law, and they're testing everything that he says, and just they're frustrated because the old way is not his way anymore. And they got him all in the crowd. And he does something that's very curious. He stops and looks at Zacchaeus and goes, hey, Zacchaeus, get down. Let's go to your house. Let's go have dinner. Wow. Everybody heard that. Everybody stopped at that. And people, no side was happy with that. No side. The ones that believed that Jesus is the way, they could not understand why. And what's funny, too, is that majority of the people that came from the way were part of that group at some point. Let me repeat that. The people that were there, part of the way, that have been saved and have been redeemed, and they were probably the outcasts and the marginalized, they were part of the group that this tax collector was part of. And they were probably really frustrated and not understanding. Isn't that amazing? Because I think we as a church, we as people in the followers of Jesus have a tendency to forget where we came from. And how much grace and mercy that is sustaining to this moment to follow him. Like none of us are perfect. None of us have it all together. It is only through the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ that we can live and breathe for him. All right? But our attitudes and our hearts somewhere along the way changes and it becomes us and them. It becomes us and what they don't have and they need what I have, but they got to change before they can have it. They need to know this message that is going to change their life. And it's one of those ones we get very, very confused with the ideology of turn or burn. You are going to go to hell if you don't know and believe the way I believe. Now, I want to tell you, that method can work. It can. Right? But I'm going to tell you too, you show me in Scripture where Jesus did that. He did not look at this guy up in the tree and goes, okay, you have done everybody wrong here. You either make this right or I'm going to put that tree on fire. Now, Jesus could have done that. And he would have been righteous to do it. Do you understand that? This is the crazy part. This is the amazing part. Like God, we talked about it during the holiness series, right? We talked about it when God is holy, when before Jesus came, God could not be in the presence of sin. Couldn't be in the presence of things that were corrupted by sin. Couldn't be in those presence, not because he's limited, but those who are part of that are limited. It would burn them up. It would send them to hell. They'd die right there in his presence. He sends his son, the ultimate sacrifice. He sends his son, fully man, fully God, in order so he can be in the presence of sin. And this is what's cool. You know, when Jesus rebuked sin, let's go back and look at the way Jesus has rebuked sin. To those who are not part of the church, guess how he did it? Tenderly. Lovingly. You know who he was really frustrated with? You know who he yelled at? Who he threw the tables at? You know where he started just throwing a big, I mean, he just came in and he's like, this can't be done. I can't imagine seeing Jesus. We don't see this imagery very much, but seeing Jesus, the same one on the cross, coming in here and flipping chairs. Right? We don't see that, but that's, where is he at? He's in the temple. He's frustrated with the church. He allows that frustration out. What did he do with the lady that had five men at the well? What did he say? Go and sin no more. He said her name. He asked for a drink. He got part of her life. This is part of the curiosity that we are called to be a part of. The world needs our love, needs the understanding of what the good news means here, but the ideology of going out and asking questions to people and being involved in people's life is the whole point of what our calling is. You hear that? That is the whole point. We cannot call ourselves Christians if we are not actively pursuing people that don't know his message. We have been told the good news. His name is so sweet. He has changed the whole world. People have believed in him, know him, have changed. We sit here years after he's been gone, still worshiping him. No other God has done that. No other God sent their son for you. No other God has loved you to the extent that our God has. He is the only God, the only true God. And he loves you. And there's a calling upon you this morning as you sit in your seat. A calling that will cost you the moment you say yes to it. Now, the cost is going to be different for everybody. The question is, it's not about the value, it's about saying yes to it. If I say yes to the calling, I'm saying, yes, you have full control of my life. You know how scary that is? This person that I have committed my life completely to right here, I love her through and through. Can you imagine, like, she has full reign to just say what we're going to do from this point on, and I can't say no. But I want to go out and do my thing. Nope. We're going shopping. Horrible. Nope, we're going to play pickleball today. I'm tired, it's hot. Nope, don't care, come on. And not even saying those things, like in my mind from this point on going, not having any regrets, going, okay, let's do it. Let's go to the mall. Let's go play. And like having an attitude like, man, I'm going to play the best. I'm going to go to the mall the best. I'm going to do these things to the best. I want you to know that light switches when the moment that we understand the calling that was put upon us and how much that cost, and we go, it cost at the cross. And if we truly believe that it cost at the cross, then everything that we live from this point on is to glorify his name. And in that, we live for that. And what does he call us to do? What is our calling? We need to learn to be curious about people that are lost and to ask them the questions, hey, tell me about your life. Be involved. We've talked about it before. The world is looking for authentic believers. They're not looking for wonderful worship places. They're waiting for you to honestly live out the calling. They're waiting for you to be a life that is sold out for him and not worried and concerned about your rights in this world. That's a tough one. That's a tough one. If you really don't want to see people go to hell, if you really want that, man, you need to start being curious about where they are, how they live, and be a part of their life and be in tune with their life, because that's what Jesus Christ did for us. Right? That is our calling. All right? This morning, as the band comes back up and we close, we're going to sing a song about Jesus. What a wonderful name it is. My question would be for you to do two things. Sing along if you want, but more importantly is this. The words that we sing this morning, do they really resonate in your life? Do they really mean it? Do you expect and understand that there's a cost to the calling? And are you willing to be curious of where God is sending you?